Blog Talk Radio.
Well, boy meets girl, and it's a good bet. The girl's gonna play a little hard to get, but they both got the same thing on their mind. Ain't that the way that the world goes round? Don't it get you up and get you down? It gets you walking around with a flashlight trying to find love.
Ooh, gotta get you some, gotta get you some, gotta get you some. Ooh, gotta get you some
love. Then boy sees girl with another guy, what he wouldn't give just to catch her eye. Cause man, she is so hot. But you can't compete with a superstar. He's got a big old house and a little red car, and what you need is the one thing you ain't got: money.
Ooh, gotta get you some, gotta get you some, gotta get you some.
What, you couldn't do it?
No, dude, I couldn't do it. You're no longer allowed to pick the intro song. Oh, I saw Toby Keith and pick, go select that one. No, you're not allowed to do this shit no more. Matt?
Everybody, welcome.
You are
banned
from the board.
Shut up for a second. Welcome to Full Spectrum Radio, everybody. that was my attempt at just being random. I picked a song that didn't have anything at all. It just said Toby Keith. So we got stuck with that travesty. I do apologize. Anyway, welcome to Full Spectrum Radio. I am Matt. With me. Thank God to cancel out that song is Dennis. What's going on, man?
Don't even. After an intro song like that, don't even intro me as being on air with you. Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
My name is Bob.
How are you today? All right, let's do this. Since it's short, let's have a proper one. Go to our normal sale.
Oh, man. That was just horrible, brother.
It was horrible. I know you do.
You know I love you, right? All right.
I know.
If you
let's,
don't love you, then you won't be offended. But, all right, I've got to do this. Let's have a decent intro.
Let's have a do-over.
Promotion on Skin or else it gets up.
Wow. Alright, so let's go back and have a proper intro. Just play fail. Let's have a do-over.
Why do we even need music, brother? Let's just jump right in here. Let's have a blast. And here, let me start this. Much like I normally do the closing, let me try an opening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Full Spectrum Radio. I am Dennis. With me, as always, is my brother, Matt. Matt, how are you doing this week, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. Now, take your host chair back because I'm not really comfortable on that one.
How's the
lumbar support on it? What the hell is that little probey thing in the middle?
Oh, man. I see how this show's going to go. start out with a crappy song, and then we got this. So... anyway, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
Oh, man. Well, I've been looking out the windows of a house that I am, well, now, thank goodness, finished with. and looking at the sunshine. Well, other than Monday, I was really debating building an ark. We went from like mid-60s, upper-60s Sunday to Monday was just pure rain, like all day. About late evening Sunday, it started to rain. Late evening Monday, it's still raining. And I'm going, fuck, is my kayak enough to save my family, or should I build an ark? I really don't have enough wood to build an ark. But I got a couple of fishing poles, I got rod holders, and I got, you know, the tackle box. Ah, hell, I got the kayak, I'm good. But, yeah, Mother Nature just, I don't know, man. Whoever Mother Nature's psychiatric evaluator is, please review her med. I think you might be off on the bipolar meds just a tad. But nonetheless, man, been staring out the windows while I'm working inside, looking at the gorgeous weather that's been lately. The flowers out front in the flower bed are starting to bloom. I think spring might actually be here. So
right.
Now it's time to...
Right. Let me tell you this. With that statement, I would definitely agree. Right now, it's not the warmest outside, but it feels a lot warmer because of the frozen tundra that my region's been in. I drove home or to and from work yesterday and today with the windows open, both windows on the Jeep. Haven't taken the top down yet, but I got the windows open now, the short sleeve shirt, not driving, but at the house, and it's definitely comfortable.
Yeah, I did something really cool today. Well, actually, I did it yesterday, which Dominion Power, kiss my ass. I turned off the HVAC system, so the heat is off. I opened up the windows today. I was going to say there goes your profit margin for the year, Dominion Power, but no, you bastards already got me hard enough. One thing that I did do, and this is a pure sign of spring. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you live in a warm climate, cold climate. You know, we've got callers from Auckland, New Zealand. We've had call in. We've got them from, you know, Canada. We've had them from England. But I will tell you, I am in Richmond, Virginia. And one of the guaranteed sure signs of spring in my neck of the woods is when my lazy ass gets my fishing rods out and restrings them for the new year forthcoming. So I don't give a rat's ass what Puxitani Phil says. You know, he can see a shadow. He can't see a shadow. He can get shot by a bullet for all I care. But one of the surest signs of spring is when I break out my rod and reels and I restring them for the new fishing season. So it is official. Spring is very close. And trust me, I've been a lot more accurate than Puxitani Phil.
Well, have you seen your shadow?
Well, I do have a very, very heavy 15th of the month shadow versus the 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, what I'm trying to...
I mean, it's like yours, Habib.
Yeah, what I'm trying to gauge here is if, in fact, we should, in fact, focus on... You're stringing, seeing your shadow, and have Punxsutawney Phil for lunch.
Yeah, see, I'm not really fond of, well, I don't know, groundhog soup is pretty good. But I'm thinking that little fat asshole gets fed way too much. And he no longer wants to come out the hole anymore. So to see his shadow, yeah, I don't know. Here's the other thought. We've thrown so much paparazzi on him. Like, no matter what direction he turns, he's going to see a shadow. So here's a thought. If you're not holding those great big lights up there so your camera looks good aiming at him, maybe you won't see a shadow. Just a thought. I mean, you know, I can light my Bic in a darkened room and see a shadow on the back side of the wall. Here you are holding 5 billion candle power lights up there so your camera looks good. Buy a low lux camera, you jackasses.
By the way,
this is where the paranormal field has it made. We all own low lux cameras.
I want to go on record because how it came through to me, which is I'm sure how it came through to other people. Dennis said Bic. B as in boy, I as in ice, C as in candle. Because it did not come through and sound like that.
Yes, yes. Here, hang on. My Bic. Ick. Wow.
It still sounds bad. But yes, Bic lighter, as in Bic pen. As in BIC.
Yeah.
You were talking about lighting your Bic and having shadows cast on the wall, that it did not sound like Bic. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, such is life. So, hey, I figured something out. There are two places in this world that I don't like to be. One is behind the eight ball. Nobody likes to be behind the eight ball. Horrible place to be. Two. Crap, sorry. Two. Downtown Richmond at 5:10 in the afternoon. I don't know what I did wrong. I'm going to say my prayers tonight, and I'm going to ask all of my angels and my guardians to, you know, try to fill me in on, you know, what I did for that punishment. But the moment that traffic gets going, so do the pedestrians in the opposite direction. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not want to be a pedestrian running trying to clear the crosswalk. And apparently they think, now, I don't know, maybe they've seen a movie, maybe they've seen or read a book, or I don't know. I mean, there was that little stupid sign that says pedestrians have the right of way by state law. That sign didn't do a damn thing to jump out in front of me in my 8,000-pound truck and protect that dumbass that ran out in front of me. And no, before you ask, ladies and gentlemen, no, I did not hit him. But I would have if I rode much slower. I finished reading the sign that said pedestrians have the right of way, and I looked back at the road, and there he was. I hit the brakes. Thank God they didn't put a whole lot of wordy bullshit on that sign, or I would have met him.
Or he would have met G. Reaper. You know who G. Reaper is, right? Yeah, okay.
He carries the Seth Hey, look, we have Lyle Lux joined us in chat.
All right. You know, for what tonight is, actually, there's a couple levels that this show means a lot to me.
You're supposed to treat him like Norm, damn it. Lyle is...
Hi, Lyle!
Lyle! Go ahead.
You respond?
Me, brother.
Yeah. Now, tonight, that is, was helped to be put together by our dear friend Tara. She's a complete sweetheart, love her to death. And I'm actually really, really happy to be able to have this conversation with Scott Spangler and Tim Hoover, who are from Seven Cities Paranormal. They have, they're doing something for two amazing causes. One is for Paul Popadak, who is a cancer survivor, and who also is everybody's trying to work together to restore a no-kill animal shelter that is in your neck of the woods in Virginia. So that's a huge, huge thing of humility on two different levels that a lot of people can relate to.
Now, what was the name of the town that the shelter is in, Matt? I missed it. And I do apologize. I have not had much time to check out what's actually going on. They're doing the Paracon at the Boxwoods.
That is in... The name of the city is Hampton, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And that's where the shelter is at that they're trying to back up, and that's what all the donations are going to?
Yes. That's what I believe that I gather from what the message is. And, folks, we had a last-minute cancellation, so... earlier, which is how this show got put together, and Tara came to the rescue and helped us out and put this up with these two amazing people. And I get a quick synopsis from Scott, so that's what I'm running through. And I'm sure that we'll be getting more information once they're on, obviously.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take notes. Matt just used a three-syllable word. That's worth a quarter.
Dick.
You're welcome, buddy. But, yeah, man, I think it's awesome. Scott and Tim are working up, the Boxwoods is also throwing in the money to help out the no-kill shelter that is, as with so many shelters, it's having financial issues also. But my understanding is to the point that they may have to shut the shelter down. The goal is to save the shelter, save the animals. Folks, if you have an option to adopt a pet from a shelter or buy from a breeder, please, every chance you can, get them from a shelter. These are animals. Well, here's a thought, and I'm not trying to, I don't give a shit. I've never been politically correct. We don't make our prison inmates sleep on concrete floors, but we make our pets, our animals, that have been neglected, abused, and thrown away. We make them sleep on concrete floors. It's bullshit. However, a child predator, a rapist, a murderer gets to sleep on a cot. Yet, here's an animal that may love you and will put its own life up for yours. And we make it sleep on a concrete floor. So,
sorry. There's my soapbox. I'll get off of it now.
I agree. I was looking for the and to poke fun at you. Talk about a mood killer, man. Like, do you have to bring rapists and murderers and stuff like that into it when it's supposed to be something positive? Come on, dude.
Well, it's just the asshole that I am. I mean, you know, we put them in prison, but, you know, those are the type of people. But, hey, hang on, brother. I'm gonna do me a favor. Matt, take a long, deep breath. You ready? Long, deep breath. Carry the whole thing for about 30 seconds while I go screen. I'll be back. Bye now.
Yeah, like I'm going to sit here and be quiet. I don't think I've ever been quiet in my whole life. but no, what Scott and Tim are doing are absolutely, absolutely amazing things for two sides. One for a cancer survivor who, like I said, from what I gather, runs a shelter and an animal shelter, not homeless shelter. But he also has all of his medical bills from that, which in turn has the shelter suffering. So all the events that they're putting on and a ton of the proceeds, pretty much all of them go to helping the shelter stay alive as Paul has put his life on the line to make this thing successful. So it truly is an amazing concept of somebody who is struggling with their own stuff and it still has that passion, has that drive to help out the animals, and the fact that Scott and Tim have stepped up along with other people with Seven Cities Paranormal to bring it in to help everything all around. So hats off. I definitely commend everything that all of them are doing. And you can guarantee you'll see it on Facebook, you'll see it on Twitter, you'll see any promotions, any posts of any help that Dennis or I can give towards that. Seems like Dennis is still talking behind the scenes. One thing I will say that was kind of cool that hopefully I'll be able to get or be a part of in the near future was my dear friend Ursula Bielski was able to go into the basement area of the lion's den of Lincoln Park Zoo that nobody has ever investigated before, and I guess she got some pretty cool stuff. So coming up soon, we'll have her on to talk about it, and I'm going to kick her ass if she doesn't bring me down there with her next time. But it was the first time in history with all the reports that have happened, she was able to go down there and check it out.
Hey, Matt.
Dennis, you back with us?
Yes, brother, I am back. I do have, I've got Scott and Tim in with us now. They're both live. Scott, are you with us, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Awesome. Tim, are you in with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hi, what's Tim, going on, guys?
I told you I could.
How's it going?
I'm
going pretty good.
I told you I could do it.
How are you guys doing?
Up on either <minute.
laughs> definitely doing all right. And I sincerely want to thank you guys for joining us. I know it was kind of last minute and everything, but when I was talking to Tara earlier today, when she told me what you guys are doing in Scott, you and I had a brief back and forth about what you guys are doing. I commend you guys just beyond belief. That's it's an amazing story. It's an amazing cause, and I sure as hell support everything that you guys are doing.
We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it. We really do.
It takes a lot.
So.
Now, all right, who's who? You're both out of Seven Cities Paranormal?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, awesome. Now, my understanding is that you two have, well, your team, Seven Cities Paranormal, which, by the way, I'll say that a lot, just so that word and that name is out there, guys.
Okay, cool.
I do need to know the name of the shelter, though, so I can throw that out there also just as often.
It's the Animal Aid Society of Hampton, Virginia.
Well, that'll get me confused. I was doing really good with the three-syllable things, and now you're going to throw Animal Aid Society of Hampton, Virginia. That's all right.
Yep.
I'm good. I got notes. I can read my notepad. I'm still looking for my teleprompter. Matt, where the hell is my teleprompter?
It's in the mail like it was 6 months ago.
Oh, sweet. So it's coming snail mail, right?
Yes, yes.
Awesome. I can live with that. So eventually I'll get it. So anyway, gentlemen, my understanding is that you were doing a Paracon at
yes.
Boxwood
yes.
to
yes,
benefit the Animal Aid Society of Hampton.
Right, and also Paul.
Okay, and also Paul. All right, well, let's start with, because it's a person that I'm assuming definitely needs the help.
Yeah.
We'll start with him, and then we'll find out about the Animal Aid Society of Hampton, Virginia. So tell me what correlation does Paul have with Seven Cities Paranormal? And
well, one
why
of our
does
group...
he need the help?
Okay. One of our group members is close friends with him, and he is he's kind of a sound guy for a band in the area. And I guess what happened is he found out he had cancer, and his insurance company figured that it was a pre-existing condition, so they denied his coverage, and he needed lots of chemotherapy and surgeries and things like that. So he's got tens of thousands of dollars worth of medical bills. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, it's astronomical. You know, you don't realize how much you can accrue in medical bills when, you know, until you're not covered by insurance. So, her being a group member and dear friends with Paul, we thought that would be a great cause to help him out as much as we could.
Excellent. Can you give us some updates on Paul? I hate to be rude, but you know what type of cancer does he have? How's he progressing along? Is he getting better? You know, hopefully.
Well, it's from what I understand, he's cancer free right now. He's in remission.
Awesome.
They think. So he just finished the chemo recently. So I guess they're still waiting to get the results and make a determination.
Okay. So that's a good thing. You know, we're just trying to help him keep his lights on and keep food and family fed and everything else. So,
he's battling.
Go ahead.
It's cancer of the lymph nodes. I think it had gotten into his lymph nodes in his neck. So, you know, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's certainly not anything that you would want anybody to have that's close to you.
Yeah.
Now,
So tell us about the Animal Aid Society of Virginia as well.
Well, the Animal Aid Society is it's a no-kill shelter. It's strictly, you know, all volunteer. They can keep a certain number of animals, and then they foster some out, you know, to homes to keep until they're adopted. But they're no kill, and that's pretty cool in my book.
Well, that's definitely cool. I mean, I'd like to say I'm fostering my three, but yeah, I don't think they're ever going anywhere.
Yeah.
I've got now. Do they have a breed specific? Like, I know up here in Richmond we have Ring Dog Rescue that, you know, their preferred breed to save is the, you know, the ring dogs, the fighting dogs. But they will save anything just because it's a dog. Not even just because it's a dog. I actually donated two traps to them because they had a litter of kittens they were trying to catch so they could save them too. I'm not real sure how the hell Ring Dog Rescue is saving kittens, but I'm good with it.
Right, yeah. This shelter is not breed specific. They'll save any dog. Yeah. Young
okay,
or old,
so.
And
they're not able to take any more dogs in until they adopt the ones that are in the shelters. So that's the problem they're having. They're getting overwhelmed.
So they're at full capacity right now.
Yeah, they're full capacity, and they're actually gonna bring some dogs out to the pair kind. They'll switch dogs throughout the day to try to adopt dogs while they're there. And they're not able to take in new animals until they adopt what they have. So that's why we're trying to help them get more of a turnaround, you know, to help, you know, the pets. There's so many, you know, I don't know if you know, but you can go almost in any neighborhood, you can see stray dogs, stray cats. That's what they're trying to help.
That's absolutely amazing. And the one thing for everybody listening that really doesn't know about how a lot of these shelters work, and I'm not sure if you have the same laws in Virginia that we have here in the Chicago area, but you're only allowed so many animals per what your license is will support. So as many as you want to take in, and as many as that come to you, at certain times you have to refuse them or just give them to a different shelter that's in the area if they can support it, because there's heavy fines that are in place if you overbook what your license is allowed for you to have.
Right. Yeah.
That's the importance of helping these no-kill shelters to adopt animals out, you know, because they don't want that to happen. They don't want to have to euthanize them. So that's an important part of trying to help these societies.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an idea. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening, I'll give you an idea how much kill is done in the shelters. When I was 14, I got in trouble with the courts. I got in trouble with the law.
No.
It's not the first time. Damn sure ain't been the last time. But I had to do community service. Well, I've been an animal lover since I was a kid. So I wanted to go do my community service in my local shelter. It still jacks me up today. I had a whopping total of 40 hours of community service to do. It took me 4 weeks to do my service because I would go in for 2 to 3 hours a night.
Wow.
They killed more animals in the time that I did my
community service, then we had kids graduate in my high school graduation class.
Wow.
Our average, we would make a run because our shelter wasn't licensed to do the euthanasia. We would make a run every other week, and we carried no less than 70 animals every other week.
Yeah, that's horrible.
As a 14-year-old kid, I volunteered to hold the animals while they put the injection into their heart to stop their heart from beating, because I knew it would be, at least when they passed, they knew a moment of love.
Right.
So if you have an option to buy from a breeder or adopt from a shelter, trust me, you'll never, ever regret adopting from the shelter.
That's absolutely true.
And all responsible pet owners, please neuter and spay your pets. That's part of the problem, you know.
Well, this is very true. This is very true. From the time that I grew up, I had pets. We've had everything from a squirrel, which if they say that you can train a squirrel, yes, you can. If they say that you can tame a squirrel, punch that bitch in the nose because they're lying to you. You can train it, but you ain't going to tame it.
All right.
I've had squirrels, I've had ferrets, I've had snakes, I've had dogs, I've had cats, I've had, iguanas. The biggest green iguana that I ever had was, and they call it snout to vent. The snout is the point of its nose. The vent is its butt. So the measurement doesn't take in the length of its tail.
Mm-hmm.
But snout to vent, the longest that I ever had was 3 feet. Overall, it was pushing 7 feet because it had a huge tail.
Wow.
These are all God's creatures. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that you can get your child, here we come up on Easter, if you think you can get your child a bunny rabbit and go, oh, look, you got an Easter bunny for Easter. Oh, how cute.
Right.
You're a dumbass unless you anticipate spending 5 to 10 years with that animal and take care of it.
Yep.
Hey, abstract thought. Scott and Tim, can you tell that I might be a bit of an animal advocate?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
That's great. We need more people.
So I definitely think that what you guys are doing is awesome, man. Now, tell us about the Boxwood Inn. When was it built? I mean, anything that you can tell us about it, because it sounds like an awesome place. And obviously, you wouldn't hold a paracon at some place that didn't have some sort of a paranormal connection.
Right. The Boxwood Inn was one of my first cases when I started to do paranormal investigation. And I became really, really good friends with the owner and her husband. And when we decided to put on this event, there was just really no other place I wanted to do it because they're very passionate animal lovers, you know, themselves, and when we told them what we wanted to do, you know, they were all for it. And a little bit about history of the place is, it was built in 1896, and it's a very active place. I've actually investigated there, numerous times over the years, It's just an awesome place to go. It's almost like I've been there so many times. It's almost like going home to my grandma's house or something. It's just it's just such an awesome place to go. I hope everybody comes out. You'll see.
What kind of stuff have you had happen there?
Well, I've actually identified two spirits that are there. It was actually the home, the guy who built the house and his wife. And the first reason that Kathy Hulick, the owner of the inn, she let me come and investigate because her son died when he was 23 from a heart condition. And she thought that her son was coming back to contact her. And we actually went there and did several EVP sessions, and we actually got the voice of her son. That's the reason that she agreed to let us stay in there.
Right. And the son passed away when?
He was 23 from a heart condition. That's been probably about 5 years ago now.
Wow.
And we actually had you know, his voice come through, you know, especially through the SB7, the spirit box. He, I don't know what it is, he's just really learned how to use it. And he's come through and said, you know, Chad's here, and I love you, Mom. And it's amazing the evidence we've got from there. And, you know, when I first showed her all the evidence of what we got, you know, she actually started crying. You know, I felt really bad about it, but she was like, you know, no, this is, you know, tears of joy. You know, I'm so happy that I know he's okay. So, but very active.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can actually make contact with, you know, somebody's loved one that they think is completely gone and they'll never get the chance to talk to.
Right. He came right through that night on SB7 when she was asking questions, and the whole family was there. And when they heard it, they all was just crying hysterically because he would say, he said, like, dudes. They said it. That's the word he always said. And when it come through and they all heard it, they all just started crying. I cried, too, because I felt so bad because, you know, I don't like to see a woman cry, you know. But she was just so happy that she knew he was okay, you know. And that made me feel good. That's why I do what I do, to try to help people, you know, to feel better.
Well, and for this event, are you doing, like, a public I can't say hunt, but a public investigation also, or is it just kind of just come for the event?
No, we're going to be doing a dinner investigation that night. The dinner investigation starts at 9 until 2 a.m. It's only for a group of 15, so we try to keep it a small group, so it'll be a little more personable, you know, not like such a big, you know, like a... I think when it gets too big, it's not... It's too unpersonable. I like to keep it a small group, so we limit it to 15.
Yeah.
Plus you have too much.
Now, the reason that I bring that up is if anybody anybody listening is going to this event, keep in mind that this is a close personal family thing.
Right.
You don't have to talk. You don't have to call out. You don't have to be an ass. So it is something that means a lot to the family. The only reason I say that is I was part of an event that was kind of the same situation. And people were there, they were taunting, they were, you know, basically provoking for no reason.
Well,
and
if people was doing that, we would, you know, escort them out immediately. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, no, I know that, but just kind of a help out nip in the bud, like, if that's what you think that you're going to do when you go out there, if you're going to be part of the event, don't even attempt it.
You're exactly right. We appreciate that. You're exactly right.
You just make yourself look stupid.
Well,
yeah,
here's another
Kathy
thought.
Kathy doesn't let groups go in there and investigate. There's only been a couple of groups she's let go in there and investigate because it's so personal to her, you know. So, you know, the opportunity for people to come and investigate through this, you know, the dinner and investigation that night is pretty cool because, you know, not just anybody can call her up and say, hey, we want to do a paranormal investigation at your inn, because she doesn't let that happen.
And yeah, that goes not just at this location, but, you know, everybody that seems to be into the paranormal, they watch Zach, they watch, I'm not going to start naming names, but they see them provoking. Keep in mind, you don't have to provoke. You can be nice and civil to them. These are somebody's children. These are somebody's brother, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother. If I come into your house and I start talking to your grandmother in a provoking manner, how are you going to respond?
Right.
No matter where your location is at, hold yourself to respect. And respect,
I think it makes you,
not only the living, but respect the dead.
Right. And it makes you look very, very unprofessional as an investigator also, in my opinion.
Well, and Dennis and I have had, many, many conversations, and along with many, many other people having conversations about the same thing. It's like, I'm going to bring up the D word real quick, but demons are few and far between, if hardly ever, is what even demonologists will say. But so when you approach something and you're approaching an entity or a spirit or whatever you want to consider it, if you approach it with respect just the same as if it was a human being, you're probably going to get a little more reception than if you walk in and say, I know you're here, asshole, come out and, talk to me, you're a piece of shit, like whatever. Like, if I was a transparent American, which is the PC term, apparently. So
what the hell is that?
A transparent American? That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
So, German, you asshole.
So if I was a transparent American and, and somebody walked in yelling and screaming about how much of an asshole I was, I'd just hide in a corner and sit and laugh at you. I wouldn't come up and talk to you.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, well, just being nice and being cordial is probably going to, in my experience and Dennis's as well, it's going to yield more stuff than if you walk in there like guns blazing. And who the hell wants to talk to him? Just somebody being a jerk.
I will say this. I'm not a transparent American, but since we are now coming out of winter and heading into the summer month,
you're close to.
I am currently a translucent American, but I will say this. If you're nice and if you're cracking jokes with them and you're just trying to have a conversation like you're talking to a friend, you will get a lot more evidence, I assure you folks.
I agree with you 100%. This bad stuff that happens to people with, getting possessed and things, I believe the provoking is a part of it. That's just my opinion. But I think if you go in there and you're nice and you say what you got to say and be respectful to them, you're going to get more evidence. And if you go in there and, talking and acting like a jerk, that's the ones that get harmed and the ones that get possessed, in my personal opinion.
Well, if you actually go back and for those that actually watch, like Ghost Adventures and everything else. And I keep faltering to those because they're the most popular things right now, the most popular shows, the most popular people in this field. Look at every time you see them come out going, oh, my God, I got scratched. It burns. Well, what were you doing right before that, jackass?
Right.
You were being jackass.
You asked for it.
You were being a jackass. And when you ask for something, you're going to get something. You may not like what you get, but be real careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And I've heard that all my life, and I've got a few decades on this planet.
Right.
Now, tell us a little bit about Seven Cities Paranormal, gentlemen.
Well,
oh, by the way, I just want you to know, Lyle is sitting in chat, and Lyle is listening.
Oh, Lyle Lotz, huh?
Yes. I don't want you to step on any toes here, gentlemen, but I want you to know, Lyle is listening.
No, we don't do that. We love Lyle. He's cool. We like him. Well, this group was formed because the last group that I started began to we didn't see eye to eye. We didn't have the same agenda or the same reasons for investigating the paranormal. So Tim and I and another member left and formed this group. Because, you know, our main objective is to help people. Most of our investigations are private residences. You know, we do go to historical places, and we go to the, you know, the asylums, and we go to the you know, battlefields and the old jails and the historic buildings. But our main reason for doing this is to help people. Because, I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, if they have activity going on, you know, what. A lot of what we get is, you know, is there something evil in my house? Is there something bad in my house? Or, you know, people don't understand. So our main objective is to help people understand, educate them, and you know, help them in any way we can. So that's how this group came to be. We have 9 members currently.
No. How many typically show up? Let's say you're going to a private residence. It's, you know, mom and pop's house. We've seen shadows. We've heard footsteps. It's a, you know, little 3-bedroom rancher. You have 9 members on your team. How many will typically show up to a client's home in a case like that?
Well, of course, the whole team wouldn't be needed. You know, a lot of times, and the reason we have so many members is because of that fact. You know, we all have regular jobs, we all have lives, we all have, you know, families, and, you know, so we can't make every investigation all the time. So, you know, depending on the size of the house, like you were saying, a 3-bedroom rancher, you know, depending on the activity and the size of the place, you know, we'll determine, you know, how many of us, you know, need to go.
There's a specific reason that I asked. I don't know if I have a 1750s residence that my team, CPR East, is getting ready to investigate. And I only have 5 members total on my team.
Mm-hmm.
But the client was concerned that, well, you know, I really don't want a couple of dozen people milling around my house.
Right.
Well, you know, I assured him that that's not going to be the case. Of my 5 members, 3 are law enforcement. Then, of course, myself. And the other is like my underling that I trust dearly. I've known him for 15 years. So, you know, when you call a team, hopefully you will get professionals like Scott and Tim and myself and Matt that, you know, they come in with that understanding that, you know, this is the size of the property. This is the amount of people that I need at maximum. Even though I have 5 members, only four of us will go to that location.
Right.
Now, the 1750s home, it's almost 6,000 square feet. I'm actually going to yank in two other members from another team because one of mine can't make it. I have four of my own. I'll bring in two from another team. They will be split apart, and they will stay with my team, one each. But then I can run, because I've got three stores, I can run one on the third floor, one team of two, one team on the first floor, team of two. Never run a team of one that is not a team, and it usually goes badly. Hey, have you ever done a single-person investigation?
Well, years ago, I used to do it by myself, and what I would do is recruit friends of mine or other people that are in the paranormal or other groups to come with me, depending on how many I need, but basically I did it on my own. If you're asking, do we ever put anybody in isolation or send somebody to a place by themselves, we do, because a lot of times we've gotten results from that. Of course, we're not going to send anybody anywhere by themselves that they don't feel comfortable or don't, you know, want to go. Me personally, I don't have any problem with that. And if somebody, you know, on our team was like, hey, you know, I don't want to go in there by myself, we're not going to do like Zach and Nick do and send Aaron to the basement by himself. You know, I think a lot of times in my experience, at certain places, and it, you know, it just depends on the place and everything like that, but a single investigator sometimes is less intimidating to spirits, and we've gotten results from that. And you know, just like the male and female thing, you know, sometimes spirits are more comfortable communicating with females than males, or vice versa. So it's an experimental thing. You know, we play it by ear or based on, you know, the information we have or the results we've gotten on a previous investigation there. But we have, you know, we do have people that will go off and investigate solo, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do the same on occasion. You know, if I have, well, the young man that, Corey, that attends investigations with us, it's kind of like my underling. I have sent him into areas by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it's, you know, well, he's like, I don't want to say he's the most childlike, but he really is. I mean, even though he's like 23 years old, he just has a blast. I mean, I've watched him around kids for, you know, 15 years, and he just has a blast playing with kids. Well, if we have, you know, stories that, you know, we have a child seems to be in this room or whatever, I'll send Corey in. I'm like, hey, go play with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it does work that way. Now, in general, in a large location, will I send a single individual in? No, very rarely. One, because I can't validate his experiences or anything like that.
Right.
You know, if he says, dude, I felt the floor shake. I don't know what the hell it was. Okay, well, while there's a personal experience, I can't submit it as evidence. It's nothing.
Right.
A personal experience, but I have no way to validate it. But if I send two in and both of them go, dude, we were both standing still, and that place shook. I don't know what the hell was going on, but the whole floor shook. All right, well, now I have two that can validate each other. So that was kind of cool.
Right.
Right.
So
that's the last time that I, well, this was your neck of the woods, Dennis. When I was in Virginia, we did the one of the plantations that was there. And, well, not was there, it's still there. And I actually got yelled at for doing a solo. Because nobody knew where the hell I was.
Well, you're supposed to know where you're going.
Well, no, there were people who knew where I was, but the people who were conducting the investigation had absolutely no clue where I was, when apparently they seemed to be the only ones. Because I told everybody it's
kind of rogue like that. I think that should be a hashtag. He's kind of rogue like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty accurate.
But I mean, now let me ask Scott, what is first I guess I need to know who's been with the team the longest, Scott or Tim?
Well, we started this team together. Tim was actually the last team I started in. I pushed to get Tim on the team, and they, we got him on the team. And of course, like I said, when things started to, when we noticed, you know, differences of opinion and things like that, you know, when I decided that, you know, I had enough, and then it wasn't what I really wanted it to be, you know, Tim decided to leave with me. So we started this team, Tim and I, together.
Okay. So how long has that been?
It's been a
year this month.
Yeah, it's a year this month, yeah.
Okay. Scott, how long have you been investigating?
Actively investigating probably since I was about 14. I came to the conclusion that I wanted to investigate and wanted to find out more when I was about 10 years old, and that's when I started reading and researching and things like that. You know, every book that I read was something to do with the paranormal. But actively investigating and going to locations since I was about 14.
All right, so now as a 17-year-old, what do you think? Have you learned things?
Yeah, I've learned quite a lot.
And you're welcome to correct
me. A long way in 20 years.
I've experienced a lot and learned a lot, but I will tell you this, that the more I learn, the more questions arise and the more I want to know. So it's like a horrible I don't know what you would call it, what the word is, I'm at a loss, but the more questions that I go to answer, the more questions arise. So it's like that. This field, I think, is like that.
I've definitely
been through some experiences, and you know, and I have a thing for, you know, especially, you know, private residence cases where kids are involved and kids are scared. I mean, that's, to me, that's dear to my heart. You know, as a child, you know, I was freaked out about things and didn't know what I was seeing and experiencing, and it's been a long time. As long as I can remember, since I've been scared of anything anymore, but I know how it is to be a kid, you know, a young child, and be scared and not understand. And you know, it's very dear to me to be able to ease their mind and their parents too, or whatever. But kids are dear to my heart, so whenever there's a case that deals with a child, you know, I'm all about it.
Yeah, and
I'll leave at 2 in the morning if that's what it takes.
You're right.
Yeah,
now,
I mean, yep.
So what did you deal with as a child that, you know, at 10 years old, what did you deal with that made you want to figure out the other side, I guess?
Well, I tell people I grew up in a haunted house, and that's a true statement. But as a very young child, I would see a black fleeting shadow near the floor everywhere I went, and this is as far back as I can remember. And I never said anything to anybody because I didn't know if I was really seeing it, if this was normal, if it was abnormal, if people were going to believe me. You know, what is this thing I'm seeing? So I would definitely, you know, cut on lights when I went, you know, before I went down the hallway or, you know, and things like that. I was kind of a nervous in that respect. And when I was 10 years old, what brought it to reality for me was I was in my den sitting with my childhood dog at the time, and a black cat walked out from my kitchen through my dining room and into the den and walked right in between my dog and I and out through the French doors. And, of course, the French doors were closed. The animal looked like a real animal. It did not float. It didn't hover. It wasn't transparent. I could see the whole cat. It was a complete animal. It wasn't like what you would think a ghost would be. You know, it looked real to me. And at that point, I realized that that is what I'd been seeing the whole time. That night at dinner, I asked my mother. I said, "Mom, do we have a black cat?" And she looked at my dad kind of strangely, and she said, looked back at me and said, "No." She said, "But we had one before you were born, and he was hit by a car, you know, just before you were born." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she never asked me any questions. I never said anything. Nothing else was ever said about it. But at that point, I knew what I'd seen. And even to this day, you know, animals as spirits or animals as ghosts has always intrigued me. Because, you know, there's always that question, do animals have souls? Do animals, you know, do animals become apparitions and ghosts like people do? And why is that? You know, so that's been a big mystery to me my entire life. But that's what actually got me started in my quest to find out, I guess.
Do you want this, Matt, or can I jump in?
Matt, I knew you had something, so that's why I was quiet.
Okay. Well, I'm a firm believer that animals do have a soul and a spirit. Or, well, actually the soul and the spirit are one and the same thing. They just, people tend to intermix that word. If you, I'm a dog person. From the time that I was in diapers, my family has had dogs. Every single dog that we've ever owned has had a totally different personality. Some of them, much like people, you just get that they've done this before. So we use that term on them and say that they're an old soul.
Right.
You know, like they've recycled. They've been here before. They've done this. So, yes, animals are capable of possessing a soul. They are capable of becoming a spirit. They are capable of sticking around after their death. I'm a firm believer in that. Tim, I'm going to pick on you for a moment.
Okay, sure.
What got you into the paranormal? Well, first off, I'm going to throw you on the spot. I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to put you on the chopping block, however you want to put it. How old are you?
43.
43, okay. And the first
years
time
young.
That you... Exactly, 43 years young because you're younger than me. Fuck you. Oh, I'm sorry. Shit, was that out loud? Damn it. I got to hit that mute button much faster. What was the age that you discovered that there's something else and got you into this whole wacky world?
I was probably about 11, 12 years old. It's when I grew up in Tennessee in a small town. And actually, I used to go visit my grandparents. And every night I was in this one room, and I would see, it first came to me, it was an apparition of an older lady. She came through the window the first time. And she would sit on the bed, look at me, never speak. And then I described to my grandparents and my parents what she looked like. And they said, that's your great grandmother. She's been dead for years. You couldn't be her. And it had to be until we moved to Virginia when I was about 15. So I said about 4 years, every time I would get a stay at my grandparents' house, this would happen to me in the same room. And my brother would stay in the same room too, but he never saw her. And when we moved to Virginia, I've never seen her since. And since that day, you know, I forgot about it maybe when I was in my teens. When I started getting my late teens, early 20s, I really started wanting to get into what I saw. And I wanted to understand why it came to me. And maybe why did I see it and my brother didn't see it. And it was in the same room, maybe because I'm more sensitive to it. I don't know. I had all these questions that I wanted to find out. That's when I started getting into groups and doing investigations and, you know, yeah, and research into the paranormal. So, yeah, I guess I was about 11 years old. And so I've been doing it really seriously, I'd say, for about 20 years now.
All right. Well, let's stick with Tim for a moment. How many investigations have you been on, roughly?
It's hundreds.
Hundreds? Okay.
Hundreds.
What is the wildest thing that you've ever experienced? I don't want to say seen or heard or just experienced. What is the wildest thing that you've experienced on your investigation?
The wildest thing ever is, I guess, a couple of years ago with Scott and I, and it was at St. Albans Sanatorium. Everyone knows this place. But
yes.
we were down in the, where was it, Scott, the electroshock rooms. And all of a sudden I told Scott, I said, I feel sick. I feel my side, I'm getting cramps in my side, like someone was stabbing me. I couldn't breathe. I was getting sick to my stomach. I got wanted to vomit. So I left. We went outside and I felt better. Came back in, the same thing. I started getting these stabbing pains in my side. So the next day, I was sick all the way until that Sunday. When we left, we did a 2 day investigation there, and that's definitely the story. I've never had that happen to me since. And actually, we're going to go back there this May because I'm just curious to see, you know, what happened to me there and if it's going to happen again. So I know that's bad to say, but I'm just curious about it. You know, that's definitely an extreme thing.
Well. Do you happen to have a hypersensitivity to EMF or no?
No. I've never had any kind of sensitivity to that at all. It's just, I mean, it was almost like someone was, I was getting cramps in my side. It was almost like somebody was stabbing me in my sides, and I got sick to my stomach, and I was sick the whole time. And I've never had that happen before. I've been on hundreds of investigations since then and before that, and it's never happened before. I wasn't provoking or anything. The guys that were there before us in the group that we were in at that time, they like to provoke. They were provoking in that room before Scott and I went in there. that's not my style. But maybe they were retaliating to me about what those guys were doing, you know. That's my only guess of why that happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, definitely possible. All right, well, yeah. With the most messed up thing, what's the funniest thing you've ever had happen? Like, the one that was just gut-busting, like, I will never forget this, and this shit cracks me up.
And it doesn't have to do with Spirit interacting either. This can be amongst your team.
I fell down some stairs one time. That was pretty funny.
I love the fact that Scott's in the background laughing.
Scott wasn't even there. It was Brandon and I, another investigator in our group. We were in Lancaster, Virginia, and I was trying to walk out of the attic, and I turned back around, and I fell down about five stairs right on my butt. My butt cheeks hit all five stairs all the way down the stairs.
I just wish I'd have done
gravity. You're no friend of mine.
I made sure that I didn't make it to DVR. I made sure that got deleted.
same question to you, Scott.
The funniest thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
laugh at me. Laugh at me all the time.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to do with the paranormal, just you're on an investigation, and what is the funniest thing that happened to you?
Funniest thing that happened to me on an investigation.
Okay, well, what is the thing that made your team laugh the hardest that you were center of proximity of? Because you may not find it funny, but your team damn sure did.
Yeah, I really don't know. I've never been asked that question about being, you know, something funny. When have you laughed at me all the time? When have you laughed at me, Tim?
Well, one of the funniest things is when we went, we was in a hotel and it was cold, real cold outside, and we went in and turned the heat on full blast, and it had to be. We woke up the next morning, it was like 400 degrees in there. We were drenched in sweat. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, we were investigating all weekend at St. Albans, and it was in November, so it was pretty cold at night. And we were freezing when we got back to the hotel, and then we turned the heat up full blast and woke up the next morning, it was 100 degrees in there. Tim always laughs. He said, I had to look at Scott in his underwear.
Yeah, that was definitely scary. That was one of the scariest times.
Now, see, now we hit the funniest and the scariest all in the same moment.
Yeah.
Now, what is the... what is the strangest location that you've been to? Not the location itself, but the people. And Scott, I'm going to throw this one at you.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah.
Scott, I know exactly which one you're going to say.
That, wow.
Guinea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you deal with private cases, you know, a lot of times you have to, you come to the determination as an investigator that it may not be the location or even paranormal activity that's the problem, but it may be an underlying, I'll just come out and say it, but a mental issue. And those are, and that's why, I'm going to tell you, I know you guys are laughing because you probably experienced this, but.
Many, many, many times.
You know, when the group is very much, you know, all of our group is very talkative, and they like to interact with the clients and stuff like that. But when it comes to something like that, I will tell you something, that they get as quiet as church mouse. because, you know, well, Scott, you got to go talk to them. Scott, you're the people person. Scott, you're the PR guy. Scott, you're dealing with the client. Scott, you're the case manager. You know, they're real quick to throw it at me when we realize that, you know, somebody's got issues. And I'll just, you know, I'm trying to be politically correct here, but, you know. And we've come into quite a few of those cases. I mean, you're going to run into them. As an investigator, especially if you do private residences, you're going to run into that. And it's, you know, it's a very touchy subject. And it's, I mean, somehow I've gotten through to this point, and I've been lucky, I guess.
Scott, man, I got a couple. Well, we got time, but I have a couple of quick stories. One private residence that I got called in for, which was a 2.5-hour drive each way. And
right.
The woman was talking about she had, you know, XYZ as far as, like, everything that any paranormal investigator wants to capture. Voices to full-body apparitions to shadow figures to, like, they were playing with her dog. I mean, I showed up to this woman's house. The other two main investigators that I work with and started CPR with, they weren't available at the drop of a hat. I just happened to get the call on Saturday. So I called a couple other teams, Midnight Paranormal Society, which is a local one. They also have a radio show. I think they're on Thursday or Friday night. But I respect them, and I have no problem working with them at all because they're in the same mentality.
Right.
We show up to this woman's house, and she is belligerent, shit-faced hammered. Well, 2.5-hour drive out to her house to show up. She has a half of a handle of vodka gone and has another one on deck next to it. And she's like, they're all over the place right now. I'm like, yeah, well, you're all over the place right now. So that one, you know what, to appease her and kind of clear her mind of exactly what she thought was going on, which was obviously alcohol-induced.
Right.
Because it only happened, and she blatantly told me, it only happens after I'm, you know, pretty much about to pass out at the end of the night. Is when I experience stuff. I'm like, well, how often do you drink? She goes, well, every day and every night. I'm like, all right, well, there's your demon.
Right. It's in that bottle.
Nothing to do with your house. Yeah, it has to do with the handle of vodka that you drink per day. So, but we went through and we did a full investigation until, like, probably 4 or 5 in the morning. And sat down with her and explained to her, all right, this is what this is, this is what this is. I noticed, like, you know, where do you keep your thermostat? Okay, well, this time of year it's going to kick on at this point because of where it's located. I have a lot of structural integrity, and I did construction, everything for a long time. So, and I also have a psychology background. I've never heard from this woman again. She may have died from alcohol poisoning. I don't know.
Right.
But no, she hasn't. I talked to her, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, just to see how everything was going, and she said everything's fine.
He dented her up for 4 years. Don't let him lie to you.
Yeah, shut up, Dennis.
It was off the record.
The second one was another one that I had that the homeowner didn't seem that there was anything going on, but one of their friends did. And it was a friend who is quote-unquote abilities. So it was just that narrow thing going on. Well, the homeowner had no feelings and has still have no feelings of anything paranormal going on. But when I was out at her house, I shit you not, the baseline reading on, I didn't have my K2, but I had my Melmeter and I had my regular EMF digital reader that was running. The baseline in the house was like a 13.4.
Holy crap.
And this is a 16,000 square foot house.
Oh, that's that mansion you called me about.
Yes. Yeah, the basement, like you walk through the whole basement, the lowest reading that I got was like a 2.9. Not a 0.29, a 2.9 was the lowest. Everything else in the house was over either, was over 14 or over, like the highest reading it got was 127, and that was staying in the middle of a room.
Good gracious.
Yeah, and that was the basement room that I started to get sick in doing the remote.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you find a source for that or what was causing all that?
Well, it's a house that was built in 1907, so unshielded wires, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a complex. It's not a home. And it's just one female and one male that lived there. And they've never experienced anything, but they had somebody with quote-unquote abilities that came in and she got stuff, so that's why we went out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've never been into an environment that has a minimum of a 2-point-something and just standing in the middle of a room and have 127 reading on a EMF and millimeter, which are 10 feet apart. And then Dennis getting sick on the phone.
Yeah, I really don't like doing remotes anymore. Now, that brings me to another question. And I'm going to ask this one and the other. Scott, are you familiar with remote viewing?
Yes.
Okay. Tim, are you familiar with remote viewing?
No, not.
Okay. Well, here's an entertainment factor. Scott, welcome to the underside of the bus. Would you like to describe to Tim what a remote view is?
Well, a person who is has the ability to remotely view something, they can sit in a room and they concentrate on that ability and they can tell you in real time what's going on somewhere else on the planet. Or what's happening, like the U.S. government the CIA used to use people who were supposed to be, that's where that Men That Stare at Goats or whatever movie came from, from remote viewing. The U.S. government used to use people to remote view and spy on, say, the Russians or whatever. And they could tell you what was going on at real time. If there was a missing agent or something, they could go into a room and they might write on a piece of paper or draw on a piece of paper the scenery or around the area of in real time of where that person was or what that person was seeing.
Cool.
So they can remote view from where they are to anywhere in the world. Is that a good explanation, guys? I mean,
that works.
That's pretty damn good. Now, I have dropped the bombshell already that I'm able to do this.
Oh, wow.
Now, I can't give you real time.
Okay.
I can give you time from when Spirit was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. Matt, tell them about... And I don't know if you can release information about that place or not, but tell them about all the points that I told you about on that
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say anything. Can we mention that, please? With the wrought iron fence around the front.
Yeah, the wrought iron fence was that it was up around the tie. It has ties to Bugsy Malone. So, Notorious Gangster. And that was, yeah, Dennis kind of hit that one on the head. But the funniest one was when Dennis got punched in the nose.
Oh, fuck you, man. I didn't find it humorous.
Dennis had a remote view for me that was on a unsolved murder case. And it's still unsolved to this day. I've gotten a ton of EVPs from this place, and, yeah. Dennis, were you in a back... Or no, you were in the trunk. And then you got pulled out of
the back
trunk.
Seat. I was in the back seat. They were fighting to pull me out when I saw a fist and got punched in the nose.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if you guys listened to the very beginning of the show when we just chit-chat and bullshit back and forth. I bounced for 15 years. I assure you, I know what a punch in the nose feels like.
Right.
I've had a few. And if you ever meet me, you can look at my nose and go, that dumb son of a bitch has been punched in the nose a few times. yeah. I'm familiar with the effects of it. I know the pain. I know the feeling. I'm sitting and doing a remote view from Matt. He's doing a background investigation, I guess, for a urban legend. This isn't a haunted area, so to speak. This is an urban legend that, well, every town has it. You know, if you, you know, you go over this bridge, you'll hear, you know, if you stop the car at midnight and you blow the horn, you'll hear
right.
the lemon, you know.
Well, there, I'll give a quick rundown. Basically what it is, it's Help Road, H-E-L-P. And Help Road is, there was a couple that was on a motorcycle or they were coming back from prom and there was a tragic accident. The car flew, or the car, the motorcycle flew off the highway and in a last-ditch effort, somebody was able to climb up to the road and write help in their own blood before they passed away. And they repaved the road and then help in, like, what looks like blood comes through.
Take notes, gentlemen. There's a test coming later.
So that was the urban legend. Is there was a 90 degree curve in the road. We went out there one night. We were bored. It was me and my friend Mark. And
I'm thinking
we're like
two.
No, not at all, actually. So, but we were out there, and I got hit with a rock. And this is cool. Between two cornfields.
Right.
So we're sitting out in the middle of nowhere. It's, I think the first time we went out there was, like, October. So the corn was cut down. It wasn't like there was, you know, locusts or cicadas or anything flying around. Well,
right.
I got hit with a rock, and you hear on the audio, he goes, oh, did you flick a cigarette? I'm like, no, I just got hit by something in the chest. And you can hear the tick, 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 tick of the rock once it hits me and then hits the ground when it bounces a couple times. So we didn't think much of it. We're staying on a gravel road.
Right.
So whatever, something could have happened. But when we went back and reviewed the audio, it was a, there was clearly certain times a woman's voice that came through. So, like, what in the hell?
Keep in mind, I didn't even know him at this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is before I met Dennis. And so I'm like, all right. Well, we went out there a couple more times, and every single time that we went out there, something more would happen. Something more would happen. Something more would happen. We get more voices. We get more stuff that would come through.
Yeah.
And it got real interesting to where I found out that I had an attachment. So we were out one night, and it was for a Halloween party. Jeff Mudgett was in town, so he was around. Jeff Resman, Nancy Resman were there. Just, you know, a bunch of the Chicago paranormal people were at this event, and Jeff Resman looks at me, who, Dennis, would you back me up in saying that he's pretty strong when it comes to psychic stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty strong in his abilities is like saying Hercules is a limp.
Wow.
So we're sitting there, and he goes, and I still have the piece of paper. He grabbed, we were at a sushi place. So he takes the chopsticks out, and he has the piece of paper, and he has the little tiny, almost like golf pencil that, mm-hmm. you know, come with the sushi stuff, and you check off what you want. And he writes down, he goes, blonde, short hair, mid-20s, very cute, and a couple other things on the paper. I don't have it in my hand at the moment, but he passes the paper across to me and doesn't say anything. And I look at him like, oh, mid-20s, blonde, really cute. And I'm like, hell, where is she? He goes, well, she's not exactly with
us. I was thinking he was going to get lucky.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, she's not exactly with us anymore. He goes, she's been watching you, and she's been walking back and forth behind you for a while now. And I was still thinking, like, living, breathing human. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, well, you know, give her the eye. Come on, you know, let's
yeah.
chat.
Get her
he goes, no, she's no longer with us, but she's been with you for a while. Like, what in the hell do you mean? This is before I knew anything about remote reading, or I even had any sort of belief in psychic whatsoever. Like, I was the first person, if you say that you're a psychic, that I'm going to be like, bullshit, prove it to me. Well,
Jeff
Rosenthal
stole his psychic cherry.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. So, but Jeff tells me, he goes, I'm getting something like Aubrey or Audrey. I'm kind of feeling Aubrey, but Audrey is really, really there, and she's telling me that there's something more. There's something more to this. And I'm like, so I start kind of just go complete fucking pale at this point. Because what Jeff doesn't know is I have a 167-page police report of this murder. And when he was saying that there's something more to it and that she was telling him that he was wrong, her name is Audrey Moore, Audrey Moore.
Wow.
And her description was, she was 5'3", with blonde short hair, early to mid-20s. Like, he verified everything in the police report, and I promise you, both of you, I promise you, I've never had this discussion with him at all about even us being out there, let alone anything about her or the police report whatsoever.
Wow.
That shit blew my mind. And doesn't help that it was on Halloween either. But he said that she was there watching me. And I seriously can't, like, I can't have any other feeling but believe him. And then also, Dennis, and you'll learn about him. I gave you no information about that place. And
no, the conversation that we had started with you saying that Mark and I were headed out to check out an urban legend. And that was it. And I told you to shut up at that point.
Yeah, and he told, tell him about the car.
Oh, the one that I described that you pulled up in?
Yeah, this is where Dennis blew my mind on this too. So I'm more over the fence on the whole psychic thing. And I'm talking to Dennis and he goes, yeah, I get that you pull up in like a black cherry or a black or something like that neon. And you're sitting on the passenger side.
Please tell me you did not go to a fucking investigation in a goddamn neon.
I was being a little more PC about it, but yes, that's how the conversation went.
And then I'm like, I see you getting out of the passenger side. You, like, fell into the ditch. You guys sat there for, like, 15 minutes or so before you ever got out of the car. So please tell me you didn't go to an investigation in a neon. He's like, no, it wasn't a neon.
No, it wasn't a neon. It actually does get a little bit worse.
It was a plum crazy purple.
What Dennis saw is that we were in Mark's car, and I was on the passenger side, and we parked on the shoulder, and we were about 20 feet away from the sign that Dennis said where we were parked, and we were in a Chrysler PT Cruiser that was purple. Well, it still is purple. He still has it, and...
Yeah. Which, anyway. By the way, I had no flipping clue who Mark was, or that Mark drove, or what Mark drove. I just saw the headlights on it, and the first thing that I got was, I knew it was a Chrysler. I knew it was, like, a really dark. It was, like, purple, black, something like that. I'm like, dude, no. And the more I focused on the headlights that I was given a picture of, I'm like, dude, no, tell me, you did not show up to a fucking investigation in the goddamn neon. And he's like, no, it wasn't a neon. I'm like, well, that's what I'm seeing. And he's like, listen, PG Cruiser. And I could literally picture him dropping his head going, it was a PG Cruiser, like in shame.
But what's even more messed up about it, though, is that not only did he peg, like, well, not obviously the make and model, because he said neon, it was a BT Cruiser, which are built on the same frame, they're pretty much the same car, but
right,
he didn't see it from my perspective. He saw it from Audrey's perspective.
Oh, okay.
And
he saw it from where she was standing,
I saw
looking,
him
at, the
looking
car.
At the car. I saw it from in front of the car. I saw the headlights. I saw the grill. I knew which side of the car he got out on. I actually made contact with this girl. I told him how she was killed, how she was found, how she was bound.
Oh yeah, the choking thing.
Well, let me do this before we get into that, Scott.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be really cool to make contact with a deceased person and see things from their point of view and feel what they felt and be able to give their story from their side? Would that be pretty cool?
That would be an awesome gift, yeah.
Okay. Tim, what do you think? Would that be pretty cool to be able to put yourself in the shoes of the deceased person?
Yeah, I think that would be cool to have that ability.
Okay. Can I deflate both of those thoughts in one sentence?
Okay.
I felt my hands bound to my throat. I felt my ankles bound. And I felt myself get punched in the nose, which the autopsy report ultimately showed that she had a broken nose. She was found in a farmer's irrigation pond with barbed wire tying her hands to her throat, and her ankles were bound with barbed wire. I felt and saw what this 23-year-old girl went through at the last moments of her life.
Wow.
You still think it would be cool?
Well, I mean, from one perspective, it's cool, but from the physical and the pain, you know, perspective, it's probably not comfortable.
No. The nose punch hurt the worst. But yeah, I literally described all of these things to Matt before I knew anything about any of this girl. I didn't know shit about Audrey. But I felt everything, and I went through everything that she went through. She, for whatever reason, this young girl made the connection to me and shared with me what she went through. And it was pretty fucked up. I mean, that's the easiest way that I can put it. It was pretty fucked up. Now, I've also had some, like, funny moments. When I go into a location and I do a remote view, Scott, you were pretty damn close when you said that, you know, they see things in real time. Well, I see real time in what that person or that spirit dealt with.
Right.
So if I go into a location that's 1800s, I deal with what they dealt with then and what they saw or what to them was real. One thing that I'll tell you that is kind of jacked up, you can follow a spirit around most of a location doing a remote view, but when the spirit turns left and there's no left to turn, I see a wall, but the spirit sees the opening that used to be there. So you kind of turn and you look and you go, this doesn't make sense. Where in the hell did it go? I did this for, now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Howard out of All Seeing Paranormal Society.
Oh, yeah, we know Howard. Cool guy. We know Howard.
Yeah, well, I did a remote for him on his team's pretty much home location, Belnemus. I got shown through a set of steps that went to the basement that isn't there. And then dude just bugged away from me and left me there by myself. I'm like, what the fuck? So, I mean, it is kind of funny from time to time because, you know, spirit shows you what they remember or what they lived. And
right.
If all of a sudden spirit turns left and goes down this direction and there's no opening, in my remote view, I can go that way. But when I go there in person, I want to turn there and go, fuck, it's a wall. How the hell?
Yeah.
Hey. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's kind of jacked up.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Christina Rake? Was Bishop Rake?
That name sounds familiar. Do you recognize that name, Tim?
What's that? What name?
Bishop?
Christina Rake.
Christina Rake.
Why does that name sound
familiar? Sounds familiar. Yeah, I can't put a face to it.
She's the one that you saw on, like, Paranormal State and so forth. She was the one that they would take in blindfolded.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's where the name clicks.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
She was working on a case, and she's like, hey, I'm just kind of curious, what can you see? So I remoted in on this one. And, you know, I can't give up much detail because she, last I knew, she hadn't talked to the homeowner or client yet. But, you know, I was 100% on, but I saw things that weren't like they are now, but I saw them like they were 40 years ago, which, as it turns out, was prior to the location being remodeled. It gets very confusing, but we have 7 minutes. So the first thing that I want you to do, Scott, do me a favor. Throw out a plug for Animal Aid Society of Hampton. Throw out a plug for the event that you're hosting to benefit them. Throw out a plug for Paul, the whole nine yards. Throw out all of your plugs at once. You ready?
Yeah, sure. All right. Paracon at the Boxwood. Are we ready?
Okay.
We ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, the Paracon at Boxwood Inn. It's at 10 Elmhurst Street in Newport News, Virginia. Proceeds from the event will benefit Paul Papadak, Fight Cancer, and for the Animal Aid Society of Hampton, Virginia, which is a no-kill shelter, which is really, really cool. It will be on April 19th. From 10 to 5, and even though that there's a dinner investigation after the event, and all the tickets are sold except for the two that we're going to raffle for Paul. So we're going to hopefully get a lot of people that want to do that investigation, and we'll buy some raffle tickets for Paul. And then, you know, a large portion of the proceeds will go to the Animal Aid Society of Hampton, Virginia. It's going to be a good event. The weather for that day on the super extended forecast looks good. So we hope everybody that can come out, well, at least will come out and check it out. And there will be groups from all over Virginia there. Twisted Paranormal, Lyle's group will be there, and All Seeing Paranormal Society, Howard's group will be there. They will be speaking during the event, We have a few speakers. Pat Bussard, who is a psychic medium and photographer and author, she'll be speaking. Pamela Kenny will be speaking there. She's an author. J. Michael Moore, he's an author and he's a historian in, for the city of Newport News. He'll be there speaking. And the Sisters of Salem will also be speaking at the event. So there'll be paranormal groups there. They can answer your questions, show you the different equipment they use. And if you're not familiar with the field, then you can. It's really good for people to be able to see what, you know, real paranormal investigators are like, and not the ones you see on television. And they can tell you a little bit more about the reality of being a paranormal investigator. Not what you see in an hour television show. Derek and Kathy, who own the Boxwood, are great people. Their son, Kathy's son, Josh, who is a master chef, will be cooking vittles for the event, and he's a very good cook. I mean, he can cook you a hot dog on the grill and taste like the best hot dog you've ever eaten. So, it'll be a good event, hopefully, and we'll get a lot of participation from the public coming out, especially for the Animal Aid Society and for Paul, and hopefully we can raise them some, you know, something to help them out. And the investigation afterwards, like I said, we'll be raffling two tickets. It's sold out, but you know, Kathy and Derek, don't let anybody investigate the Boxwood. It's an active place at times, very historical, especially for the city of Newport News, because Simon Curtis, who built the house, there's a general store and a post office that's built into the home, and so, I mean, he basically started the business ventures in Newport News, Warwick County at the time. So,
well, on behalf of CPR, myself, Matt, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, period, I will be more than happy to come out and at no cost, no anything. I will be more than happy to come out and talk about remote viewing and talk about attachment.
That would be awesome.
I'd be more than happy to do that just to help out the causes that are benefiting from this. So if you would like, shoot me a Facebook message, text message, whatever, and I'll be more than happy to come out and benefit, you know, donate my time, whatever.
That would be awesome.
We appreciate it. We appreciate that.
But on behalf of Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, myself, CPR Dennis, CPR Matt, thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for another pretty damned awesome episode of Full Spectrum Radio. Scott, Tim, do me a favor. Do not hang up. We're going to go into archive. But we have less than 1 minute, so I'm going to throw out our plugs real quick and we'll continue our talk. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not already on the board, now is the time. I recommend you to call in at 323-580-5703. Get on the board. Just listen to the rest of the program. But here we are at the close. I have 48 seconds. Let's see. I'm going to get it down to 15 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to blast out our plugs. I'm not going to do that to you. Thanks for listening to Full Spectrum Radio. I am CPR Dennis. That is CPR Matt laughing. You can find us both at CPR Matt and CPR Dennis on the Facebook and on the Twitter. You can find Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on the Facebook and the .com.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're down to 10 seconds of live broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had a great time with Scott and Tim. Join the event. Archive now.
part of the reason I'm laughing is your tag on the board of Howard listening.
That's what he does. He calls in and listens. He walks around. Howard, I love you, you little bald bastard.
Wait.
Listen, guys. Let's fuck with Howard. I'm going to take him off and mute and just listen, and I'm going to bring him live.
Hold on.
Howard, are you there?
I'm here. Howard? You bastard!
That was our fourth EVP that we've gotten from the show.
No, dude. Tonight's show? Yeah, maybe.
But
I'll tell you what. Man, the night that we had Taryn Vance Hammond, and that was just sick. We went through half an hour of, we just kept hearing, hello, and everybody was muted.
Wow.
That was the weirdest show I have ever been through, man.
Yeah, and it's Dennis and I went through everything. We went through every single gamut to where I, like, when I was running the board, I would mute one person and have, or I'd mute everybody else and have one person live, and then I'd switch, and then I'd switch, and then I'd switch. And it was Karen Van Tamen and Kim Brulé.
Kim Brulé, yes.
And, like, I had everybody, including myself, and every single person that was on the board, I had muted. And we were still getting voices that came through. Which, on an RF frequency, like a radio frequency, I can understand why that would happen with crossover and crossfeed. But on an internet show, that's not possible.
Right.
But every single person was muted, and we were getting voices, and we were getting full sentences and conversations that were coming through.
Wow.
Don't know why. What were you saying, Dennis? Apparently Dennis doesn't want to talk. I have to say, this is part of the reason that I wish that I was in Virginia, besides the weather, but for everything that you guys have going on, it's phenomenal, and I support you 110%. Howard, I know... I know, Howard, you wouldn't be tuning in, listening, and involved in this if you didn't support it as well.
Oh, absolutely. I suppose, from the first day I met Tim and Scott at Paracom last year, it's kind of like been a brotherhood. So, I have nothing but respect for those guys, too. So, I like this area because we kind of stick together. We might have our drama here and there, but when we get past it, it's just like a big family.
Yep. We appreciate all the camaraderie from you guys.
And looking at the board, apparently we did lose Dennis. So, his loss, my gain. But, no, I mean, it's, Howard, I don't know how the whole Unity thing has been going. I've seen some stuff about it, but not too much recently. Okay. But the one thing that I do see is, like, talking with Scott and Tim, and the fact that you called in, that it definitely for sure exists.
Oh, yeah.
That's another reason we wanted to do the Paracon, is get all these groups together to actually meet each other. You know, it's about time to try to meet each other and work together instead of talking about everybody. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Damn, you couldn't have said
yeah.
it better.
there's a lot of some good groups in this state, in this spot. Paracons and things like that, and also the thing that Howard's working on, the Virginia Paranormal Unity thing, Howard. All that stuff's great to get groups together, actually talk to each other. And maybe if you get out and get to actually know everybody, you're not going to sit there and say, well, hey, these guys, they don't know what they're doing. You know, it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. How do you know that? You don't even know them. You don't even give you a chance to even get to know anybody. That's why I like to do Paracons and things, because you get to know all the groups and get to be friends with everybody, because you're all doing, you all love to do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking about this yesterday with Kevin, who runs the whole URN network. The one thing that I think that everybody gets away from is it is a hobby. I mean, and there's no answers to this hobby. So who's to say who's right and who's wrong, and you get into the whole chastising and this and that. It's like, well, you know, XYZ group out of, you know, Omaha, who's to say that they don't have the answer?
Right.
You can't shit talk anybody. I mean, that's really what it comes down to is, the procedures and everything that we have is right, and what you're doing is wrong. Well, you know what? You don't have any. What? You got a couple mouse farts on a recorder, and you're supposed to have it all down, and you have all the answers? No.
No, you're supposed to learn from each other. I mean, every time I've ever investigated with another group or talked to another group about their investigation techniques, I've learned something. You know.
Yeah. And there's certain, you know, a lot of people, especially around here, that, I mean, the Chicago area, it's not saturated, but
right.
a lot of what, or how people investigate, I mean, we have history, but we don't have the 1700s history. We don't have the history
right.
that you guys do down there.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, and even a lot of people don't know that the Chicago shoreline of where all the skyscrapers and everything is now.
Right.
Used to be 3.5 miles back. That was built up to build all those buildings. So that's that's shit sediment from the bottom of Lake Michigan. Oh, now Dennis is calling me. What the hell?
I gotta go pee, guys.
You can pee. It's an internet show. Come on. It's not like we're on prime time.
Go pee, Scott. I need to all see Scott talks a lot more than I do.
We're on prime time for internet.
That was for information, Tim, not permission.
Yeah, so if we happen to hear the, that's fine.
He set the phone down at least.
Yeah, we'll call it static. But no, I mean I will never chastise anybody for anything of what they want to do or what type of investigation they want to conduct, unless it's like their whole group premise is after or modeled after a show. So you base everything off of an hour that you see on TV that's gone through production, editing, cuts, what's going to be aired, what's not going to be aired, drama, you know, any of that shit like it. No, that's where I'll kind of cut out and be like, all right, Paranormal Investigation is boring as hell. You're mostly walking around talking to yourself because you don't hear things. And then you spend 10 times the amount of time that you were on the investigation just going through all your equipment.
Right.
Like reviewing audio, reviewing video, like however everybody does it. But it's not glamorous. It's not a, like, oh, look how awesome this is. No, it sucks as a hobby. I can go fire up, well, when I had it, but I can go fire up my dirt bike. I could throw it on the trailer, go ride for, you know, a couple hours, kick the shit out of myself, and then come back, and I don't have to do anything after that. Maybe spray some mud off. That's pretty much about it. But no, like when it comes to Paranormal Investigation, it is a hobby. It's a lot of work afterwards.
Right. That's the hard part. People don't see that on TV.
No. And I mean,
hours,
you know
hours,
what?
Hours of review.
I do give credit to Ghost Adventures when they, like, not in the more recent seasons, but the past seasons, to where they would show the four team members and they would do time lapse to where they'd change positions and, yeah, they're going through all this stuff. And it gave, it kind of gave an idea of, yes, we're going through this for hours upon hours upon hours. And we had two things that popped up like, oh, I have a question about this. Oh, well, no, it was the heat vent. It was the HVAC system that kicked on and moved this. Oh, yeah, you're right. And, oh, we got one EVP. But they had that time-lapse photography of them sitting in a hotel room at a table, which I'm sure didn't happen. But they went through and said, or showed, yes, there's a lot of review. There's a lot of other stuff that goes along with it. So, Howard, what's the longest that you've ever had to review?
2 weeks. Actually, let me rephrase that. It's going on 3 weeks now. We're still going through stuff from the last one in February. Because we finally got through all the video that we took. We're starting into Dennis's video now. We finally got all the recorders done and logged all the equipment effects. And in fact, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I would like to take this time to let everybody know that I have some hard evidence that I will, with the team, release a Paracon for Tim and Scott. And awesome. It's something very powerful and very strong, and when we release it, you know, it just takes your breath away. So I'm really excited about releasing that evidence with Tim and Scott at Paracon.
Cool.
It took a long time to get through all that video, but the little bits that we found are just extraordinary. So I would say right now, it's this period, the one we just finished, and we're going on the fourth week, so there you go, 4 weeks. But you're looking at Plymouth amounts of almost 140 to almost 200 hours of video, audio, and going through everybody's personal records, you know, all the documentation, who did what, who did this, who said what, because you got to go back and look at your investigators and talk with them and do your one-on-ones with them and say, were you here? Did you do this? Were you there? Did you do this? Could you have done this? Could you, would you have had to? If you did, I got to throw it out.
Right.
If you,
you gotta
eliminate
everything that it could be.
And, you know, you're going to support your team. So, yeah, it's going on 4 weeks. So I'm going to say 4 weeks right now, Matt.
Yeah, and Tim, what's your longest review?
I do all the EVP myself. Scott does the video. It usually takes me about a week to go through the EVP. It usually takes Scott about a week to do the video.
Yeah, so that's given normal jobs, a week and a half, and how long of an actual investigation is that?
Just the one night. I said probably between 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I try and convey to people. They just, when they find out that, you're a ghost hunter? Well, no, I investigate paranormal stuff. I'm not a ghost hunter. I don't have weapons. I have recorders. But, and it's, you know, when I try and talk to people about it, it's like, oh, that's so cool, that's so cool. I'm like, well, it's really not. Like, it's cool, but you seriously can spend a week going through all the crap that you have running and not get anything. So you get home from your normal job, and then you're at least, you know, 4 to 6 hours of just going back, listening to audio, watching video.
I'll review it all and then find things that don't sound right. Then I'll go back and I'll, like, try to find any possibilities of what it could be. Then I'll clip them all together and show them to the group. And then we all decide what we think, you know, what we would use as evidence. That's usually the way we do it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah,
you got to combine your information with your investigators. So, yeah, gathering the information is another long one.
Right. Especially if you have new investigators. Because you're not familiar with their voices. I don't know if y'all have had that problem, but you get a new investigator and I don't recognize their voice on the tape a lot. And then I'll, you know, if you get new voices, it kind of confuses you sometimes.
Oh, I know what Howard does, but the one thing, like, that the way that you guys operate, if Tim, if you do audio, and Scott, if you do the video, what do you guys use for, like, your staples of what you're always going to have with you?
As far as the equipment?
Yeah.
Well, I have, we have the DVR system, which is infrared, but we have, Tim and I both have full spectrum handheld cameras, and then I have, we have regular digital cameras, and then I have full spectrum digital camera, you know, still cameras.
And what do you guys rock for audio?
I use Adobe SoundBooth. That's what I've always used. I use Tascom recorders.
You know, I just use, I have a Sony, most of us have Sony or, the Olympic?
RCA's? Olympus?
Yeah.
Well, majority of the time we use our Tascom, you know, the new recorders with the more for directional microphones on top. We like to use those a lot. In fact, we talked about that before, Howard, about how it cuts out all the noise and, you know, when you go to review, you used to have to clean up all the audio. With the new recorders, you only have to do that.
Yeah.
Takes all the hiss and the you know, like the
noise you'd have in the background. These new recorders, it takes all of that out. I mean, pretty much all you got to do is now just listen and clip it.
That's, you know, I've been through a whole bunch of recorders, and so has Dennis. Like, the Zoom, the H4N, the one that looks like a taser.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, but the problem with those is they're too good. So they're amazing for music, but they actually are horrible for EVP.
I've tried experiments, you know, because you know they filter out so much stuff. I would try like to use some of those little cheap $30 RCAs, and I'd use my expensive one to see if I could get things. And sometimes I actually got more on the cheap recorder than, but also at times I got more on the expensive recorder. So I don't know if it's where you're at the time or what. I'm not sure. So.
Yeah,
but I've got both on one.
Well, here's something real cool when it comes to audio. Michael Esposito, which is he's actually world renowned for ideas and theories and testing with results that he's come up with. One of the coolest things that I ever saw, and I was physically there, and Howard will back me up on this, that Howard, if I say something, I'm not elaborating, I'm not bullshitting about it. Like, I will analyze everything until I don't have an answer for it.
Agree. Oh, yeah, totally agree.
So, we were in a, we were in the, it was one of the hotels in Chicago, the Congress Hotel. Because the Congress Theater is notoriously haunted, but it's not, has nothing to do with the hotel. But we were in the Congress Hotel, and we were in a room that there was a gentleman that offed himself, and then there were two other women that killed themselves in that hotel room. Well, Michael set up a specially grooved actual 48 vinyl that he got from Germany. And he cleaned the whole thing with alcohol. I mean, he blasted off with air like there was nothing on this record except for just grooves that had nothing in them. He played the record first after he cleaned it, and you could hear it was just a hiss and a static. And there was no sounds of voices whatsoever. Well, we did an EVP session, and he played the record, there was nothing on it, cleaned it off, hit record on this 48 player that he had, and then went back and played it afterwards after we asked our questions. And you can hear us talking that would be recorded on vinyl that has, like, the crackle and the hiss to it. And then there were EVPs along with it. It was amazing. And they were clear, like they would come through an SV7. Like they were so clear, it wasn't even funny. And we listened to the whole groove of the record, and there was nothing there.
Wow.
So he gave me a CD on my birthday because I was hosting a historic tour with Ursula, and he was on the tour, and he gave me a CD from the Sally House, which I'll have to send you guys a copy. And what he does is he'll take EVPs and kind of blend them together in sort of like a twisted music kind of way. And the stuff that he got out of the Sally House is amazing. So it's a 78-minute CD, and you listen to it, and you're like, wow, this is just... And then you start hearing voices, and you're like, I can't stop listening to this. You listen to the whole 78 minutes and be like, let's go back to track one again.
Right.
I still do the same thing. I still go back and listen to EVPs from years ago. It still amazes me. That's the point. That's the part of investigating that amazes me has always been the EVP part of it.
Yeah. I mean, and every vehicle that I've owned, I've always decked out the stereo system in it, and it's not, I mean, yeah, to listen to music to and from work or whatever, but I've also done remote locations to where I have a couple-hour drive. I'll do a review in the car, and I have a two-door Jeep Wrangler that I have 10 speakers in. Nobody needs 10 speakers in a two-door Jeep Wrangler, but my crazy ass did it. So I'll plug my recorders in and jack it up to the highest volume and listen to it because I know what my surround sound system in my Jeep does. So if I hear it, I'll go back and I have a pad of paper always on the passenger seat and I'll timestamp everything while I'm driving, which, no, I'm not texting, but I'll timestamp everything.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely a fun field, but I know you guys are out ahead of me, so I'll let you go if you'd like to.
Yeah, I gotta get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I know you were saying that, so, but yeah. Anyway, I definitely appreciate it. If you guys
appreciate
you
having us on.
Yeah, we appreciate it too, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you're definitely welcome anytime. If you have anything like promotion-wise that's on Facebook, that's a tag. Just tag me on it, post it to my page, and then I'll put it out for you guys.
Cool.
Appreciate
that.
So, thank you very much.
You're welcome back anytime. Like I said, I mean, even after the event's over, if you want to come back on, talk about the event, talk about what you guys got, you are more than welcome. So,
awesome, man.
Appreciate it.
So, all right, guys. Howard, you got anything going on you want to plug?
No. Just I'm plugging Boxwood, man. Boxing, and you know, we've been plugging it for the last 2 months in Richmond, and we're going to continue doing that.
We look forward to seeing you again, Howard, man. Ain't but a week away already. That's went so quick. We've been planning this since September, man. It's hard to believe it's next weekend.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be over, and I'm going to be depressed.
I know. It's going to be like, oh, we built up to this, and now we're going, no, what?
Right. We really appreciate you, Howard, coming out and speaking for us and everything.
Oh, you guys are welcome. You know I'll do anything for you guys. Anytime you need me.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Let me say this right now. And Matt, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still here. You wouldn't be talking to them if I wasn't here.
Skinny Dennis would strike back in and get in. if it wasn't, and I'm going to say this online, and it's on radio. If it was not for Scott and Tim, there would not be a VPA today. That's honest God's truth. I'm telling you the truth,
man.
Wow, we appreciate that, man. That's pretty deep. That's cool.
Unity is really big to Scott and I. I mean, that's something we need to create more in this field. It's the way this backstabbing is in this field is crazy, man. This is crazy.
It's crazy, but I think we can get through it, guys. I think we can
The VPA, man, is a great thing you did, Howard. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. You know, hopefully it'll keep running on its own and do its thing. And with me stepping away from the helm for a little while, it should prove that, you know, you got to do it, you got to work and step up, and we work as a team, not me. You know, it's not about me, it's about everybody.
Right on, man, right on.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And, hey, Howard, I told you this, man. Just let me know when you want me to launch CPA. And I'll get the whole Chicago crew involved, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. What's happening now is, like I said, Matt, you don't know about this, but I kind of took myself out of the group. I had to force the theory. So I kind of stepped away and put Ryan in my spot. But I'm kind of still, you know, there for anybody that needs me. But I'm kind of pushing that theory and pushing the groups to go, hey, it's not a Howie thing. It's everybody thing. We got some really good stuff going on. You can find VPA now at www.VirginiaParanormalAssemblyFanpage.com. We are now up and running 100% and promoted by Paranormal News Network, Jeff, props, and Paranormal Insider. So we're already getting promoted, and I want to pump these teams. I want the public to know who these teams are that are in VPA, because it's not necessarily about VPA, but about the groups here in Virginia.
Right, man.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And of course, we can't have the beanpole involved because he's having problems getting back in. But Dennis is he's a brother to me. I mean, he definitely is. Howard, I know you know him. You've worked with him. He's has such a huge heart, and he knows his shit.
Well, you know, CPA of East has been a real big supporter of ASPS and the other teams around the area. They're just as much a part of what we're doing than the teams, because just because it has a Chicago name doesn't mean they're not part of Virginia. So trust me, mad props to Dennis and everything he's helped us with. And I just look forward to getting him to work with the other teams. All these guys and girls are going to be really surprised and happy about what he can offer as far as in the field to help everybody else grow.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like when I met him in Virginia with KB and Big Ray when he was still with the Ghost Raps team, when they were still together, and I love those guys too. But when we were out there, and it turned into more of a promotional push because of what their investors and their promoters had going on. And Dennis was like, fuck, man, I just want to investigate. And I didn't think of having any sort of satellite team or anything like that. And Dennis has put together an amazing team, and he's developed everything about him. And I'm behind the, seriously, I'm behind him 10,000% on what he chooses to do. Yeah, it's my name, it's my creation, but it doesn't make sense to have a CPR East because Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, Virginia, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But for the contacts that I made and the friends that I made, that's where it made sense of to just say, here, I believe you, I trust you, this is what it is, and do what you want with it. And he does amazing. So,
amen to that.
Little backstory on how Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers East came about, because it still doesn't make sense to me to this day.
It's a love for what we do. Come on, man. That's what's bringing us together.
Yeah.
No, I know that. So, anyway, guys, get some sleep. I know you got to work tomorrow. And and anytime you want. I mean, I think Howard, Scott, and Tim. Yeah, we're now friends on Facebook. Just shoot me a message. You want my number? That's not a problem at all. Anytime you guys want to be on, you have anything going on, you're more than welcome, 100%, to come on and shoot the shit with us.
Cool, man. We appreciate it. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. That's what we're here for.
Y'all have a good night.
All right, I'll see you guys in a week.
All right, brother. See you in a week, Howard.
Later.
All right, brother.
All right.
Yeah, yep. Jealous.
Hey, it's only like a 14-hour drive from Chicago.
Yeah, my Jeep is
My Jeep gets 9 miles to the gallon, so
you
pay for fuel, I'll be there.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Good night. Howard, thank you, brother. Tim, thank you. Scott, thank you. And catch you on the flip side. It has been another night of Full Spectrum Radio into archive, almost to the end.
Like I'm George Jones, smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory lane up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on them good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Back in the day, Potts Farm was a place to go. Load a truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls. King in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. Where you learn how to kiss and cuss and fight too. Better watch out for the boys in blue. And all this small town, he said, she said. Ain't it funny how rumors spread like I know something y'all don't know. Man, that talk is getting old. You better mind your business, man. Watch your mouth before I have to knock that loud mouth out. I'm tired of talking, man. Y'all ain't listening. Them old dirt roads is what y'all miss. I'm chilling on a dirt road. Laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights. It's got me reminiscing on them good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on the tires. Sit back and think about them good old days, the way we were raising our southern ways. And we like cornbread and biscuits, and if it's broke around here, we fix it. I can take y'all where you need to go, down to my hood, back in them woods. We do it different round here, that's right, but we sure do it good, and we do it all night. So if you really want to know how it feels to get off the road, trucks and four wheels, jump on in, and man, tell your friends, we'll raise some hell with a blacktop in. I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights. Got me reminiscing on them good times. Turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on the tires. That's right. George Jones, smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, got me reminiscing on them good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on the tires.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, here we go. And I'm betting you like girls to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we live in my genre. Who in the hell done paved the road wider? There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne. Pull a damn hamstring, tryna put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a look. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go. Shawty don't even know she can get in it for the low. Told me she's not a pro, it's okay, it's under control. Show me Soprano, cause girl, you can handle. Baby, we start something, you come up in park club. Girl, I'm new, assuming my Bugatti the same nose. Show me your perfect pitch, you got it, my banjo. Talented with your lips like you blew out a candle. So I'm using, know you can make it whistle with the music. Hope you ain't got no issues, you can do it. Even if it's no bitch, you never lose it. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go. While you're working, I'ma lay back, don't stop it. Cause I love it how you drop it, drop it.